Freedom Fiends, thanks everybody for joining us. I am Nima Vedati here in the Hill Country enjoying the beautiful weather. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in the wilds of Wyoming. How's it going, sir?
Good. I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild Mountain West. In the occupied states of America, primarily I am in Wyoming, and happy daylight statists time there, Nima.
I am well rested, man. I enjoyed that extra hour. It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, well, you know, the government stole it from you in the spring and just gave it back to you now.
It's kind of
like it's when people get the tax rebate, like stupid people are like, oh, the government gave me money.
Yeah,
no, they stole it from you and borrowed it. Yeah, didn't give you interest on it and gave it back to you.
Exactly. We gave them a non-interest loan.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome if you could figure out a way to charge the government interest on that.
Yeah.
They would probably say, well, the interest is we provide all these wonderful services for you, like putting cops on the corner to give you speeding tickets.
Yes, and having the NSA and the TSA. You know, I was thinking, I think most people, they're going to have trouble. There's nothing good about that someone got shot in LAX, but they're going to have a hard time painting that on sympathies to take guns away like they try to do with kids. Because everyone likes kids, and no one likes the TSA. Like the TSA and the NSA, I think the average person would rather date or live next door to someone who practices dog fighting than a member of the TSA or the NSA. I really do.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, they let Michael Vick back into football. He was a dog fighter. I don't think they'd let him back if he went and joined the TSA during his off period.
Yeah. The TSA, well, I don't want to say they stole something from my 91-year-old dad, but my 91-year-old dad came out here a while back and went shooting with me. We hadn't gone shooting since I was like 14. Long story, but he did a great target, man. At 25 yards, he shot like 50 rounds into a 1-inch target and got about 2/3 of them into the 1-inch target and most of them into the 2-inch target, which is amazing. Pretty cool for anybody, but amazing for a 91-year-old man.
Yeah.
In the winter, it was like 30 degrees out, and it was like wet snow rain, and we were under a cover. But he was really proud of it, and I was proud of it too. And he wrote his name on it, and he wrote, you know, the town and the time and the date, and folded it up, dried it out, folded it up, put it in his luggage. When he got back to New York State, it was not in his luggage. Like either a TSA or a baggage handler. Probably, I'm assuming TSA was offended by it and stole it. Or maybe somebody was like, cool, I'll put this on my wall and say I did it.
Yeah. Well, they could have just lost it. I mean, the thing is they open up your bags and rifle through your stuff. I could imagine stuff falling on the ground and blowing away. You know, the air conditioning just blows it away and nobody notices because they're just kind of zombified and doing their job, going through the motions.
And then they find it on the ground 5 hours later, like after
he's
back.
They freak out. They shut down the airport.
Gun! Because they find a target with some paper with some holes in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So daylight statists time. Are you well rested and ready for further abuse, Nima?
Ready for all the abuse in the world. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I it's weird for me because I used to work nights a lot. And so whenever it would fall back, it would be nice to get the extra hour. But then again, it gets dark at 6 after daylight savings time goes away, you know, after it's fall time. And so I'd wake up and I'd only have 4 or 5 hours before it's dark again. That was real depressing. Now that I'm an early riser, I'm actually looking forward to the sun being up by the time I wake up and get on the road.
Yeah, and it actually does assume like a homogenized America and an agricultural America, and it may be time for it to go away. And we're going to talk about that, but I want to have you read this thing about the a little bit about the history of it, because most people, especially on talk radio, who don't do the research well, unlike us who have Wikipedia, we're the only people with Wikipedia. A lot of people say, oh, wise founding father Benjamin Franklin invented daylight savings time. That is not true. He proposed it as a joke. So go ahead and read this thing about Benjamin Franklin.
Yes. If anything, Franklin did have a good sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
He says, during his time as an American envoy to France, Benjamin Franklin, publisher of the old English proverb, quote, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, anonymously published a letter suggesting that Parisians economize on candles by rising earlier to use morning sunlight. This 1784 satire proposed taxing shutters, rationing candles, and waking the public cook by ringing church bells and firing cannons at sunrise. Franklin did not propose DST. Like ancient Rome, 18th century Europe did not keep precise schedules. However, this soon changed as rail and communication networks came to require a standardization of time unknown in Franklin's day.
Yes, and Franklin was my favorite founding father, really, because he wasn't really much of a politician. He never held office. He turned down an offer to have office. And Jefferson and Madison basically sent him to France to get him out of the way so they could do some big boy politicking. Because he was kind of not really the class clown, but he was a party guy. He loved the Parisians. He loved he was in favor of, let's say, full employment, especially of working ladies. And he he was behind labor and in front of labor and all around labor in France. And he liked to drink his wine. And he was a smart guy. And he was a publisher. He was a self publisher. He was the blogger of the day, the podcaster, the talk radio host. The self-syndicated talk radio host, like the Freedom Fiend. So we like him a lot. As founding fathers go, he's probably our favorite, basically because he didn't do much politicking. And really, I would be happy if all politicians did was go visit workers, ladies, working ladies, and drink wine instead of passing laws that hurt people and stealing money.
Well, Democrats always complain about Rush Limbaugh and thinks the government should shut his mouth and all sorts of censorship things like that. But if they really thought about it, they'd realize Rush Limbaugh does a lot less harm to them than somebody like Dianne Feinstein, who's currently proposing ways to legalize what the NSA is doing.
Yeah, he's just got a big mouth, kind of like Sean Penn. Sean Penn just has a big mouth. Sean Penn thinks it takes a village to institutionalize all the small government Republicans. That's his plan. So anyway, Benjamin Franklin did not invent daylight savings time. He proposed it as a joke, as a nanny joke. And the Parisians weren't quite as marching forward to communism to socialism as they are now. They kind of lead Europe in that. Although they weren't a fan of it back in the day when it was pointing rifles at them. But so he didn't put it into action, and the Parisians didn't take them up on his suggestion to tax candles and fire cannons at dawn. It was actually modern daylight savings time was proposed by New Zealand entomologist, that's bug scientist, George Vernon Hudson. Basically, so he could collect insects with more light, and because he was a golfer and didn't like turning in early from golfing due to darkness. So, and that would just be a guy with a big mouth with a stupid plan, but he was friends with the Prime Minister of New Zealand and got it implemented into law. And then it spread to Europe in World War I in Austria-Hungary and Germany were the first to use it as a way to conserve coal during wartime. So, America, when you're saying that daylight savings time is a good thing, you're basically saying what's good for the Kaiser Wilhelm is good for America.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is an anachronism, right? The reasons we needed it then don't really play out as much anymore. And I think that inertia is the only thing that really keeps it going. And it does get more confusing. It's the standardization, but not everybody follows it. Like Arizona doesn't follow it. I remember driving and rushing to Arizona, and we were so worried we weren't going to get our dog to the kennel because we were kenneling Yukon so we could go take a day trip or a weekend trip to Lake Powell. And we rushed and we rushed and we rushed, and we realized when we got there, oh, we got plenty of time. Because Arizona doesn't follow daylight savings time. We had an hour to spare. But we were just speeding down the highway, almost dangerously so, because we thought this government aberration was going to restrict our time, you know?
Yeah, I've had some problems with it, too. I think about it all the time now, because I call radio stations all day, every day. And then when we get on them, I have to figure out what time zone they're in and put it on our website and adjust for things. And I have never thought about time zones as much now, but as much before as I do now. But I did a little bit when I was in a rock band, because we were touring out of a van, and a couple times we ignored the time change and drove. This is before computers. This is, you know, before everyone had a computer and a clock in their pocket that automatically adjusted. This is in the early 90s, late 80s. And a couple times, one time we missed a show, and one time we got there like no time to do a sound check, like packed club, like get on the stage and play, because generally we'd work it out so we had time to get there and do a sound check, then have dinner, and then there'd be a couple opening bands, and then we'd play. But a couple times we were like the only band It was an early show, like an all ages show, and we missed one show. And another time we got there, and it was like, get on stage and play. People are waiting for you, kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, that's not a good start to a show, man. Yeah. You're all rushed and frazzled. Maybe it is for a punk show, though.
Actually, I think one of the most memorable shows we played was in Grants Pass, Oregon, where we got there late. It was an outdoor festival at the college. They threw us on stage, like, get on stage, get on stage. Everyone, like 20 people helped pull our equipment on. We pulled up in the back. We got on stage. We played three songs, and the police shut down the show. And people still talk about that show, like, more than if we'd played a great set and three encores. Like, yeah, man, I saw this band bomb. They were so radical. Bomb. They were so radical. Okay, that sounds like, I mean, back in the day, that would have just, you know, people said that to me, like, yeah, I saw your band bomb. It was so radical, man. The police shut it down. And now, like, those are words that will get your door kicked in. Bomb? Yeah. Radical? Shut down by the police? Wait, what? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you're definitely getting the NSA's attention today, Michael.
Good job. Yeah. But, you know, they're busy dog fighting in the cubicles. So probably.
They wish.
Oh, yeah. So there's a plan. There's a bunch of people that have this plan. There's a website called standardtime.com, and it says the activists here at standardtime.com have a modest proposal. Poor choice of word. Modest proposal is the name of a Swift nut.
Makes it seem like it's a satire.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a satire about eating Catholic babies to solve the population problem back in the 1800s in London.
I thought it was the hunger problem at the same time too.
Oh yeah,
killing two babies with one stone.
He was basically saying people shouldn't have as many babies, but he put it in the guise of, hey, let's eat them. And the Irish ones are particularly tasty. And I'm Irish, so yeah, and I can laugh at that. I'm Irish. Yep. So, and he had recipes, which is really horrific. But, you know, satire. He was kind of in the same realm as Benjamin Franklin, but he never had a Parisian post paid for by the government to help the workers of France, especially the working girls, work full time three shifts, which is what Benjamin Franklin did.
Well, Franklin was kind of a lobbyist, right? I mean, wasn't his whole point or part of the point of his trips to France to get French support for the American Revolution?
Yeah.
To get money to bring back home. Think about Washington.
Think about how quickly you'd be thrown in Gitmo if you did that now. If you were like, I think there should be a revolution. I'm going to go to another country and sleep with the ladies and start soliciting funds. Yep. But he's our hero, or one of them.
Well, we're going to go solicit some funds right now. We'll be back in just a bit.
On the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is some Squisscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Gun, 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 gun! Is that how you declare that you have a firearm, Nima?
It's not how I do it. I suppose that would be one way. This is Fiends. Welcome, Fiends, one and all. My fellow Fiends, how are you doing? I'm Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael Dean Fiend over there with the microphone in his face. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
I'm armed and peaceful, as we should be. What are you doing,
yes.
Nima?
Yes. I was just reading about this modest proposal, as they for some reason call it.
On standardtime.com. Yeah, proposal, yes. to just axe daylight savings time. And the basic idea, and I like this. I like this a lot. It's basically right now we've got four time zones in the continental United States. And under the proposed system, we'd have two, and we'd have no daylight savings time. So basically, the way that you would adjust to this is the Pacific time zone, the West Coast, would go forward an hour and have the same time as Mountain Time. And the two Central Time and East Coast Time would go back an hour and 2 hours and freeze at Mountain Time. I don't want anyone to think that the reason I like this system is because I'd have to do nothing, because I am in Mountain Time.
Yes, you'd be the one that was unchanged.
Yeah.
But yeah, so for instance, if it were 1 p.m. in California, it'd be 1 p.m. in Casper, it'd be 3 p.m. in Austin, and also it'd be 3 p.m. in Miami or New York, if you will.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, though, because when you cross that line, you jump 2 hours.
That would be weird. Yeah, that'd be one weird thing. The other thing
I don't know why it couldn't be two time zones that are 1 hour apart. Like, Mountain Time stays the same, Pacific Time joins Mountain Time, and the Central and East Coast Time go to Central Time.
I don't know. I think it's too far of a distance. I think the sun would be in too different of a spot.
Okay.
In if it was one time, you know, that or 1 hour, yeah, sun would be in too different a spot.
Now, there's something on this that says, write your congressperson about this. A simple letter or email will be enough to get their attention. Yeah, right.
No, it won't.
Now
it'll go into the spam folder of their staff.
It won't even get to their spam folder. And we do want to talk about the fact that one time somebody from some congressman's office criticized us in a comment on our website and said, it's people like you that are ruining America. It was some Democratic congressman.
Yeah,
and we checked the IP address. They were claiming to be.
No, wasn't it a Republican? Wasn't it? We thought it was Boehner's office.
Yeah, it was Boehner. Yeah, same difference. Almost these days. These days, I mean, Democrats are acting as warmongering as Republicans and wanting to outlaw drugs. Although our theory is that they're setting it up to legalize pot for the 2016 election to win, because the demographics will be such that then they can do that. And the Republicans will lose because they won't put up a Ron Paul. They'll put up someone who will be like, oh, we can't legalize marijuana. I am not a crook.
Well, Boehner's one of the worst, too, because since he is the majority leader in the House, that's what he is, right? He always is the one that makes the deal, right? He's always the one that is his responsibility to end the government shutdown and to compromise, and so he ends up having to sit in the camp or make the compromises, make the deals with the Democrats. So he can't ever stick to his principles. He has to play the game more than your average rep.
Man, that's true. It's all true, but it sounds weird coming out of you, Nima. It sounds like you're talking like politics matter or something. So anyway, daylight savings time. Now, to get this proposal enacted, we're wondering, first of all, how this could be enacted without requiring governments, and secondly, what would be people's resistance to it? I think people's resistance to it would be inertia. Like, well, wait, I'd have to think of something new for a day. Yeah. And I think that the way it could get enacted, and it would just basically be like something big doing it that's not the government. Like, if Dancing with the Stars started scheduling on this, like, America would follow, basically. Or if Apple, you know, if all the new iPhones just had this default, or as the not that you couldn't change it, but they shipped with the default or something like that, you know, where you'd have to actually take action to go back to it. And the resistance to it thing is, like, it's the same with politics. Like, people don't want to change a broken system and scrap it and let people do things voluntarily, because, you know, a few jackbooted thugs won't get their paycheck for aggressing on people. And I think those people should embrace the phrase jackbooted thug. What do you think about that, Nima? Because I mean, that that means people are afraid of us. Yeah,
I don't think they think that way. Maybe some of them do, but see, the thing is, I think they fall into two camps. They either genuinely think they're helping people, you know, they don't like to think of themselves as the stormtrooper of the evil empire. They like to pretend they're Luke Skywalker. They don't think they're the bad guys, they think they're the good guys. There's those people, and then I think there's some people that are just
sociopaths.
It's their job.
And there's people that are sociopaths. Oh, come on, man. I think there are.
Well, there's definitely people who are sociopaths, but I think it's a much smaller percentage than the people who A, think they're doing good, or B, are just in it for the money and they don't care what they're doing. And maybe there's some overlap between them and the sociopaths.
All right. So we've solved all the problems of the world, and everyone who knows how to run the government is busy driving taxis, cutting hair, and doing talk shows. But that's us. We know better than them. They're sociopaths. They're jackbooted thugs. We're right. We're the Freedom Fiends. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show, where a fiend saved is a fiend earned. I am Nima Vidati. We've got Michael W. Dean making cat sounds on the microphone. What's going on, Mr. Dean?
Yeah, we need a Python programmer, and that is not a snake charmer. That is someone who knows how to program computer programs and fix previously made computer programs in the computer language called Python. So if you are a Python programmer and want to do some free work for liberty to save the world and make it a better place, you can write us at talkback@freedomfiends.com. And people should know they can write us at talkback@freedomfiends.com. And people should also go to freedomfiends.com. They can see how to contact us in all sorts of ways there, including phoning us on the radio and hassling us, or doing any other number of things, getting involved in BitTorrenting for the Freedom Fiends to give us drone-proof. And you can buy buttons. We now have 10 Freedom Fiends buttons for $10 postpaid within the U.S. You know, our margin on that is like 16 cents when we do the postage and the buttons and the packaging. And not even my time for packaging them up or taking them to the post office. My wife taking them to the post office. So basically, we're doing a loss leader to get as many Freedom Fiends buttons out there in the world as we can. So,
out in the world.
Yeah.
And maybe instead of one Python programmer, we should ask for 55 companies to help us with the programming. And then we can have a really great national program.
A national program? We're not the government, man. We can't just steal. Yeah, it's like I have this problem I've been trying to solve for communicating over media and making radio and podcasts and Liberty Media better. And we're ready. We know how to do it. We know what we need. We just need a Python program right now. The program already exists. It just has to be tweaked a little bit. But we're not the government, man. It's frustrating to me because I've been trying to get this done for about a year. And if it was the government, it would just be done overnight. They would just, you know, hire 75.
Well, it wouldn't work, though.
it would work internally. The stuff they make internally works. They just make the stuff for us that doesn't work.
Okay.
If you're talking about Obamacare, I really think the website is intentionally designed to fail. You know, Rush Limbaugh said that I don't agree with that guy 100% of the time or anything near close to it, but he said something I agreed with the other day was that Richard Nixon resigned over a lie much smaller than Obama saying you'll be able to keep your health care.
Yeah. Something that affects just about everybody, right? that people are going to look at their new insurance bill and their jaws are going to drop. And the government's going to say, it's okay. We're going to subsidize you. We're going to give you some more money. But they lie all the time. Why are you going to believe them about that one? You're going to just keep buying their BS? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and what Nixon resigned over was authorizing the audio recording spying on about a half dozen people in the opposing camp, the Democrat office. So basically, Nixon, did I say Obama? No, wishful thinking. Nixon resigned over something that is now being done to every American citizen all the time as part of government's general operating practice. Mm-hmm. And I'm not defending Nixon. He's a bad guy. He took us off the gold standard. He was a politician. He ramped up the drug war. What else? He created the EPA too, didn't he? Which, you know,
it was created around his time. I don't know how big of a hand he had.
Any statist or Democrats listening probably say, oh, these people are horrible. They want pollution. No, we don't want pollution. But the EPA is not the best way to prevent pollution. But we'll go into the economics of how the world would work without an oppressive government thumb on every member, every part of your body, every place on your body all the time on a different on a different show. So yeah, what do you want to talk about, Nima? About bad politicians?
Okay. Not yet. I want to talk about
good lawyers. Good lawyers.
The court system. Yes, good and funny lawyers. According to UPI, a Tennessee attorney says he wants prosecutors to call him Captain Justice, or, if you will, defender of the innocent, rather than lawyer or defense attorney. Drew Justice, the defense attorney, was the subject of a motion filed by Williamson County Assistant District Attorney Tammy Rettig, seeking to stop him from referring to prosecutors as, quote, the government during proceedings for an attempted aggravated burglary case. And so in response to that, he responded with a motion to limit the language used by prosecutors. So basically, he's saying, well, if I can't call you guys the government, then you're going to have to call me Captain Justice.
Yeah.
And they are the government. I don't understand how you could get away with a motion like that. And I don't know if they did get away with it yet or not. But that's what they are. And if the government is such a prejudicial term, what does that say about people's popular opinion of the government right now, to where that's such a derogatory term that the prosecutors don't want to be called that?
Well, the federal government issued an edict recently that said they wanted to be called your federal family instead of the federal government, which is incredibly Orwellian. But it's also an admission that the word government is a dirty word. And I still don't understand why people like – I don't want to pick on Rush Limbaugh. He's on radio, and I think he has a button somewhere where he could just have us deleted from radio if we say something critical. I'm kidding.
There's an app for that.
There's an app for that. Someone – coming up on my coattails? No. Release the jacks. No. But
so anyway, yeah, I mean, I think that this is a hilarious thing that this lawyer is saying. Well, if you get to define the terms, which really the government does try to define its terms. I mean, that's half of what they do. And this is nothing new. I mean, this is what Orwell wrote about, is that's one of the main tools of politicians and governments, is to twist the language to their favor. Because if you can twist the language, then people can't think appropriately or critically enough to criticize the people in power. And so I think what this lawyer was trying to do is, in a small microcosm of that case, he was trying to point it out that, hey, you guys are the government. And if you think that's bad, well, tough. You don't get to decide all this. And so to show them how ridiculous it is that you get to define what you're called by other people, you get to morph the language to your own ends, to your own benefit, he said, well, if you get to do that, I get to do it too. You can call me Captain Justice and defender of the innocent.
And what is his name? His last name is Justice, right?
Drew Justice. Yeah. So it's not even that
defender
much.
Defender of the innocent. And he wanted to have his clients not referred to as the defendant, but as the innocent man or the innocent woman. Yes. Because you are innocent until proven guilty. And he wanted to have the ADA referring, the prosecutor referring to his client as the innocent man. I like that. I like this lawyer a lot.
Well, it's interesting because defendant, you know, if I think before the way we think of courts now, I think defendant has morphed into a derogatory term because probably of all the courtroom procedurals and the CSIs and the perp walks, all that kind of stuff. But if you think of the word itself, it sounds like it could be a good thing. It's a defendant, right? You're on the defensive. You're acting in self-defense. You're not the aggressor. So in that sense, it's almost a good term for the person who's being attacked by the government, but it's morphed and it's changed to where when you hear that, I think a lot of people automatically think he's a criminal or he's guilty because he is the defendant.
Hey, don't bash CSI. The scientists in there are portrayed as being very into finding the truth, not proving someone guilty. Although there's a new thing in the UK. This is horrifying. There's a thing in the UK where prosecutor, like, you know, public defenders are appointed by the government when someone can't afford an attorney in the UK. Are now being offered openly offered financial bonuses if their defendant pleads guilty, if their client pleads guilty. That is insane.
Wow.
Man.
That is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the CSI thing too, because that's how you got there. But science labs have been culpable in having a relationship with the prosecution yeah. and the police officers and getting reward. There's an incentive for them to make sure that the prosecution and the police have a good go of the case. And sometimes it's not even that explicit in certain jurisdictions, but that's kind of the unwritten thing is we're on their team. We're all part of a team. We're the science lab. We're on the same team as the prosecutor. We're on the same team as the police. And so how fair is that? I mean, they should be seen as some kind of – or thought they should think of themselves as some kind of independent organization. But they're paid by the government, so they can never be that.
Well, you make fun of me for liking shows like CSI, but I love well-crafted TV drama, and I like CSI. And I envision in LibPair, in Libertarian Paradise, what we're going to be at here in a few years after everything collapses, that the show CSI could continue, but it would be fighting only for the right, or if not the right wing, but for right, for rightness. You know, basically a lot of what they'd be doing is only solving real crimes, not going after drug crimes, not going after silly, right. like, you said something about the government. But a lot of what they would do in my LibPair idea, CSI would continue, but they would be proving who was involved and in what capacity in the war on drugs and the war on liberty and for prosecuting those former goons for the Nuremberg trials for the goons that might happen in LibPair. And you know, we had a thought about this. We've been saying this kind of as a joke for a long time that there will be Nuremberg trials for the drug warriors and for people who stomped on people's rights and people who took guns away from innocent people. And the Nuremberg trials were what they had after the Nazi regime ended. They actually had trials and, you know, sentenced to life in prison some of the Nazi, not the biggest Whigs, but the second tier Whigs. And we joke about that someday that may happen. But, you know, I was wondering, too, what the effect of that might be if that became a really common thing. Like all the kids were talking about how they need to have Nuremberg trials for all the the goons, that is actually an incentive for the goons to never legalize anything and never step down. And what do you say about Syria with that?
Well, it's incentive for them to get goonier and to hold on to their power at any cost, because if they think if they fall from power that they will be subject to Nuremberg trials, which may mean they're subject to hanging or some kind of horrible consequence, then they're going to hold on to that power as much as they can. And I think an excellent example of this playing out in real life is Bashar al-Assad, who thinks and probably has really good reason to believe that if the rebels win, then he will be beheaded and his family will be beheaded. And the Alawites
by who?
Will face a really tough time. By the rebels who behead people.
By Al-Qaeda, we've basically. All seen,
by basically Al-Qaeda. By people who make YouTube videos of them eating organs and have pictures of them protesting in squares holding human heads.
Man.
Really horrible, inhuman stuff. And so because of that, people say, well, you know, maybe it wouldn't be a stretch for him to use chemical weapons. And people in the intelligence community have said as such that, yeah, well, we fully expect him to use chemical weapons if it comes to that. I don't think it's come to that yet because his regime is so far winning the civil war. But nobody would be surprised if he actually did have his back against the wall and he did some horrible things to keep himself from being beheaded.
You know, you just went so over the head of most Americans. I mean, you said a bunch of Middle Eastern names that sound funny to most people, and you talked in a really general way about the nuances of what's going on in the world instead of just Obama says they're bad people and we got to bomb them, you know, which is kind of what it's turned into. Thank you for being smart, Nima, and
yes.
educated.
It's really sad that that's what it's turned into. And people don't get it. And it's sad that they don't, because if they did, they would realize so much more that the government is nothing but a lying, murdering band of thieves and murderers. We'll be back from the market in just a little bit.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends talk radio show. Put on your good Pope hat and your good vestments. We're about to get into some disgusting stuff from a politician. Oh, how from surprising.
We learned about this on a website called PopeHat.com, which is a blog run by some libertarians who are also attorneys, some of them. And it's pretty funny and it's pretty good source of stuff. And this is horrifying, man. You left going into the last bit saying politicians are murderers and thieves. And they're also
perverts.
So go ahead and read about this guy.
Yeah, headline is Rep. Mike Rogers angrily defends bathroom spy cam. Representative Mike Rogers, R. Michigan, was defiant today in the face of accusations that he had installed a small digital camera in the women's bathroom in his office at the Capitol. At the Capitol building, politicians are spying on girls going to the potty in the Capitol building. He said, quote, "This is just politics. I would argue the fact that we haven't had any women come forward with any specificity arguing that their privacy has been violated clearly indicates that something must be doing right. Somebody must be doing something
Such
exactly
a politician,
right.
Man. He's saying you're not a victim if you don't know it. Just because I have pictures of you naked up your skirt going to the bathroom on my hard drive, as long as you don't know about it, you're not a victim. Man, this guy is sick. Anybody listening to this, imagine if this was your wife or daughter and her boss had cameras. You'd probably go in there and like punch the guy in the face. And I doubt any jury would convict you of it. And I'm not saying that you should go punch this politician in the face, but think about what an infraction this is. Think about what an intrusion this is. And it kind of reminds me of this Leonard Cohen line. He has a line that says, "The rich will have their cameras in the bedrooms of the poor."
And the thing is,
the bathrooms too. Apparently,
think about what happens to people who have child pornography on their computer. Their houses can get SWAT raided. They get gooned. The FBI comes in. All this stuff. Now, this was a public bathroom, right? I'm assuming. Couldn't there have been little girls going to the bathroom in this?
People bring their daughters to work,
right? Can we have Mike Rogers investigated for child pornography? Isn't that what should happen next?
At least checked out to see if there was any.
Investigated.
There.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, he has threatened he's probably going to try to threaten us because he has threatened bloggers and journalists with court if they write about this fact that he was accused of this.
Yeah. And he makes no sense. There's no logical synapses that ever connect in his brain. At least not that he admits to. Reporters pressed him saying, cause his argument was no women have complained about this spying on them. And so obviously the obvious follow-up question is, well, how would they know?
Yeah.
And he said, well, you can't have your privacy violated if you don't know your privacy
is violated.
But
then he's saying to journalists, if you tell women I violated their privacy, I'll have
then you're the one who's
you're going to prison. You're going to get sued in civil court.
Yeah. I thought the whole point of having your privacy violated and being spied on was you don't know it. And that's one of the reasons it's so insidious.
I wouldn't be surprised if this guy invokes something from the Patriot Act to defend himself. It's so long and dense and horrible and Stalinistic that I'll bet there's something in there that if something happens in the Capitol building, he has the right to do it or to defend it or to drone people for outing him about it. The guy's just a typical politician. A lot of people look at this and go, oh, this is horrible. This guy should be removed from office. They're all like this, man. I'm not saying they all have cameras taking pictures of little girls in their bathroom at work, but there's got to be something this dirty on all of them because so many of them get caught doing something filthy like Anthony Weiner. And then Anthony Weiner like yelled at some guy on camera for like saying some guy on camera was like, yeah, you shouldn't be in politics anymore. And there's film of Weiner like yelling at the guy and calling him names. Like that's how politicians think, man. They think I am just beyond the law to the point where there's no law to where they can do whatever they want.
Right.
And when they need to, they can write laws to give them special permission of the law, like the Patriot Act or like Eric Holder saying that.
Or the FISA amendments.
Due process for droning an American teenager who did nothing is like the two sides of Barack Obama's brain conferring with each other.
Yeah. Or all of Jeh Johnson's legal meandering to make sure that the drone strikes were considered legal when Barack Obama was in power. And now he's head of the Department of Homeland Security. And speaking of the Patriot Act, I thought it was here to protect us, Michael. Do you know what the backronym for it is?
What?
It's Uniting and Strengthening America by Providing Appropriate Tools Required to Intercept and Obstruct Terrorism Act.
That's Orwellian,
that's what it is,
man.
And yeah, if they put as much effort as they did into making up these silly backronyms, it would still be bad. Let's just get rid of them completely.
That's what you get when you vote for the lesser of evil. You get evil on both sides, man.
Yep, exactly.
Freedom Fiends. Back for hour two now.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Aha! It's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Thank you for joining us for hour two. I'm Nima Vidati out here in Central Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming. How's it going, sir?
Good. I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location, and y'all know the rest. I'm in Wyoming. And, you know, the Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio, unless your grandpa was Lou Reed.
Yes, unless your grandpa was hip and freedom lover. Was Lou Reed freedom lover, do you think?
I don't know. He was married to Laurie Anderson. I think they're both Democrats probably, but I also think
he was married to Louie Anderson. Okay, so he was into the, Laurie, the gay marriage thing.
Laurie Anderson.
Oh, Laurie Anderson. Okay.
I don't know, man. New York artist types tend to always be Democrats, but I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that at all. I don't know. I have no idea. I do know that in my movie, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, which features interviews with Lou Reed, among a bunch of other cool people, and Jerry Stahl, writer for CSI, and Henry Rollins, and a bunch of literary types, and Hubert Selby himself. It's a pretty cool movie. But I toured with that movie. Went to Europe, went to France, went to Prague, went a few places in America and showed it. And there's a part in there where Hubert Selby, also known as Cubby, is talking about, you know, he was like 74 years old. I mean, I filmed that interview 3 weeks before he died. of CPOD, whatever it is. You know, he had lungs removed and all sorts of things. He had a hard life. And when I showed that movie, one of the things that got the biggest my cat wants to yell. My cat's,
is that a cat?
That's my cat yelling.
I thought it was an R&B singer.
No, it's my cat yelling because he knows we're on in Barstow. And when we moved from L.A. to Wyoming, it was really hot in Barstow. And he really – I love Barstow, but my cats didn't like it. And they've been waiting for the chance to get on and yell at Barstow. So.
Okay. See, I thought somebody was listening to Mariah Carey in the other room.
Yeah, they're easy to make. So when I showed that movie, one of the things that got the biggest applause was when Selby was – this was filmed – before Obama, when Bush was president, and it was he was talking about how he was thinking of leaving America because he was ashamed of what his country had become and how Bush was murdering people and doing all these horrible things, and it got a big applause. And he said he was too old and his family was in America, so he wasn't going to leave. But that got big applause. But I'm just horrified that, like, interviews I've read with a lot of people who are in the movie and a lot of people I've talked to who've liked the movie love Obama. And it's like, no, he's like Bush, but worse. You should be – man, I don't get it sometimes.
Yeah. Here's an example. Bush basically had the NSA doing all the horrible things it's doing now, but it was completely illegal or illegaler. I think it's still most of it illegal even to them. The Obama administration helped with the FISA amendments, which basically took a lot of the stuff and made some of it more legal than it was. They basically took what Bush was doing and said, oh, okay, let's keep doing that. In fact, let's make a few more excuses for it.
So I guess the Obama lickers who rightfully protested Bush for being a warmonger spy person, but love Obama. I guess the difference to them is it's legal. They say it's legal now.
It was a democratic process, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting. I was hearing, I think it was somebody, maybe even from the EFF. I can't remember. Some advocacy organization. I think it was the EFF because he was being interviewed about the whole NSA protest, you know, because they helped organize that whole thing, which is really great.
Yeah.
And he said something to the effect of, you know, if the American people, if there was some kind of constitutional amendment to get rid of the Fourth Amendment and make NSA spying legal, then that would be okay. You know, he's saying there's not any of that, so this is all illegal and it's horrible. But he said, well, theoretically, I guess if the people decided that they wanted to be spied on all the time and went through the normal constitutional processes to do that, then it'd be okay.
That's
and
a problem.
No.
That's a problem we have with Constitution worship of people who say, oh, we just have to abide by the Constitution. The Constitution allows a lot of things that politicians do. You know, I really can't find in my most people who love the Constitution have never read it, first of all. They've read the Bill of Rights, but they haven't read the Constitution. And when people say, well, it's unconstitutional, Obamacare is unconstitutional, I'm like, I don't think it is. Unfortunately, when you read the Constitution, the Commerce Clause, the General Welfare Clause, and there's another clause in there. What's it called? Something like the Public Good or the We Can Do Whatever the Hell We Want Clause. I forget what it's called, but there's a bunch of stuff in there that, I mean, it basically allows Congress to, you know, do tariffs, do taxes, write laws, set up whatever they want. And
Raise an army, raise a navy.
Write letters of mark. Write letters of mark, which is basically authorized legal piracy. Yeah, which is what Ron Paul – I like what Ron Paul said of what they should have done after 9/11 was, you know, basically sent like 20 guys over there to get bin Laden and give them a letter of mark instead of having occupying armies all over the world.
He did a couple cool things about that because he said you need to either do that, which would be the good thing to do, is go get the people who actually might be responsible for this, just them, don't have an occupation, don't send American kids to die in the middle of the desert for no good reason to build a nation, to build bases and train a military that doesn't want you there. He said issue some letters of marque and reprisal. It's in the Constitution. The other thing he did was he put forth a bill to actually declare war on Afghanistan and said, well, if you're going to start a war, an actual war, do it the right way and declare it. He was basically calling them on their BS and saying, if that's what this is, then do it right. And they laughed at him and said, no, that's an anachronism. The Congress doesn't have the power. We'll just give the president a blank check to do whatever he wants.
Yeah. I mean, all presidents since Washington have done things that whether or not they're constitutional or not, they are not good things. Like, you know, Washington, people are saying, but wait, he's a hero. He chopped out a cherry tree and couldn't tell a lie. And none of that stuff ever happened. It's just propaganda that they was told right. the little kids to pacify
stories.
Them.
Stories.
You know, what he did was he went to war with American citizens who'd fought in the revolution, who didn't want to pay the tax to posthumously fund the revolution after they'd fought it themselves. And he went in and killed them because they didn't want to pay this tax. He just decided they owed on their whiskey.
Right. And that tax wasn't just to gain revenue for the government. It was also because he was a whiskey distiller himself.
It was to squish competition.
He wanted to squish competition. He was a rent seeker. He was part of – it was kind of a Halliburton-esque thing for him to do back then at the beginning, the first president.
Now, you said Halliburton. You might want to qualify that. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean a lot of people say that you know, Dick Cheney was obvious. I mean, I don't see a lot of people say, but Dick Cheney was the former CEO of Halliburton or some kind of former board member or bigwig. He becomes vice president and he pushes for military action that is going to lead to Halliburton getting contracts to go over there and rebuild it. Billions of dollars of wealth transfer is basically what it amounts to, of taking taxpayer money, giving it to his favored company that he has connections with and sending them over to the middle of the desert to fix stuff that the government destroyed.
Yeah. You know, Cheney, you can blame everything now on Cheney, I think. And that's dangerous for me to say in Wyoming because, you know,
it is.
He's everywhere. He's listening. He could have people come over and visit me in the night. But he's actually running his daughter for U.S. Congress right now against
the sitting senator
who is by all small government Republican models a good guy, and Wyomingites like him, and he fights against stuff that's bad a lot of the time. But you know, Cheney doesn't want to be out of politics, I guess, wants a dynasty. And that leads to things like, you know, George Bush the First was a horrible guy, and then he got his son put in later, who was all but retarded. And I guess you can't say that on the air. He wasn't very smart. He couldn't speak English clearly. And he was pretty much a puppet of Cheney, you know? So,
some people say it was an act, his bad speak talk.
Well, that doesn't speak very well on America if you have to act like you have an IQ of 102 right. or you have 89 to be a president.
Well, but maybe it was decay, or maybe he was dumbed down with some kind of what they put in the presidential food or something. But you can watch some of the videos of him when he's younger and he's governor of Texas, and there's much less Bushisms.
Well, but those. There's actually a really him acting like a politician. There's a video, a camcorder video of him at someone's wedding in their backyard at night in Texas.
Flipping the bird and joking about the government doing horrible things.
Yeah. Yeah. And like acting like a drunk frat boy, like an aggressive, like, oh, I don't like you. I'm going to use my powers against you kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not radio friendly. We can't play it. Yeah. So Cheney's trying to get his daughter in, and you know, is what is she going to do that the current guy isn't going to do? And he's already saying that she's going to win too, which is kind of weird because I thought elections were something that happened in the future, not something that's decided ahead of time. But he's already saying she's going to win.
What are the polls like? I thought Enzi was still ahead. I thought it was looking dire for Liz Cheney. It's Liz, right? Or is it a different –
It's not the lesbian. He's not running the lesbian to try to win the Republican ticket. It's the other one. It's the one that's like always on
Liz
Fox
Cheney,
News.
Yeah.
It's the one that's always on Elizabeth Fox Cheney. News agreeing with everyone and saying her dad is great. So basically, though, like he put through the Patriot Act. He pushed real hard for that. He pushed to invade Iraq when there was no proof, when there weren't chemicals of mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction. You know, basically – everything that's wrong now that we're blaming on Obama, he didn't inherit it from George Bush. He inherited it from Cheney, basically. So
yeah.
So
well,
there.
Did you hear Cheney was on Bill O'Reilly, and Bill O'Reilly was actually being semi decent for a little bit, like a few seconds at least. Bill O'Reilly was like, you know, after all of that, after all these years and all the deaths and all the money, what did we get out of Iraq? And he paused and put a caveat because he's looking at Dick Cheney in the face and he says, I still think we should have done it. I'm not going back. I'm saying I was supporting it at the time because it was what we knew at the time. You know, he has to go and censor himself.
It's what we knew at the time based on the intelligence provided by Dick
based
Cheney.
Based on the lies. Yeah. Right, right. And Dick Cheney was struggling to come up with an answer. He couldn't really say anything. He made some weird remark about how – well, now, you know, there's less extremism
There's more extremism, and it's the government. I mean, basically, the reason there's a cop on every corner, the reason that people hired off a pizza box are feeling up your grandmother at the airport, the reason your phones are being tapped in mass, a lot of that traces to the Patriot Act, which traces to Dick Cheney making the circumstances to push through the Patriot Act that he wanted pushed through. Supposedly. Yeah. I mean, that's what people say. And I kind of – it looks right to me.
Yeah. Well, Dick Cheney's other thing was that well, the reason it's so bad right now is because Barack Obama didn't continue to do what we would have done if we stayed in power.
Wow.
It's like, no, man. You guys had that. You owned that. You bought that.
Yeah.
You built that. Barack Obama just built an extension onto the left wing of it.
That's awesome. Yep. So let's talk about some good stuff. People always people ask us sometimes. See, the thing people don't know about the Freedom Fiends, if you're just tuning in now, is that we're going to a commercial and we're going to come back and tell you what we know. yeah, daylight savings time. Daylight status time messes up my head.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yeah. Yo, it's the FreedomFiends.com. Actually, no, it's the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show, but we also have a website, FreedomFiends.com. I encourage you to go visit it. You can listen to full show archives from the very beginning when it was just a little bitty podcast that me and Michael started because I was going insane doing nothing but telling lies for the state all day as a newscaster.
So. Yeah. Yeah, and you weren't allowed to use the word bureaucrat. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I was doing some kind of sweeps piece on new sage grouse rules. There's a bird called the sage grouse, and I guess it's endangered or some kind of it's on some kind of list. And so
they're everywhere, man. They're so not endangered. They're everywhere. It's on the list of what's the word about megafauna? Charismatic megafauna that
that
land grabbers want to say, think of the sage grouse, to take large parts of Wyoming and not let them be used for anything useful. Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, Dick Cheney would probably agree with me on this because he wants to do things. He owns large amounts of Wyoming. And we decided during the break that we're going to start calling the Patriot Act Cheney Care because basically Dick Cheney rammed that through and probably had it in his drawer before 9/11. That's the theory. That's the joke. But yeah, Cheney Care. That's what we're going to call the Patriot Act.
He had been part of the state for years before he was vice president.
Oh, he worked for Nixon, didn't he?
Yeah. I think he was some secretary level in Nixon's administration.
Tenting
him and Rumsfeld go way back, being evil twins.
Tenting his hand and going, soon, my precious.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I was doing some story on it was basically bureaucratic fighting between agencies. There was the Indian Reservation was in some kind of tiff with who should make the new sage grouse map between I can't remember which agency it was. It might have been the BLM. Not 100% sure. It was a long time ago. And I asked the guys, the guy at the Indian Reservation, you know, I was basically saying, so what you're saying is you don't think bureaucrats in some office thousands of miles away should make the decision because you guys are bureaucratic offices closer. And my news director said, it was a great piece. Just try to stay away from that word and don't ask leading questions because it was a leading question. Fair enough. My first sweeps piece. But he also took exception to that word bureaucrat. He says that just makes it sound bad. And it reminds me of of that Captain Justice motion about calling the prosecution the government. The government just sounds bad. People don't like it when you call it. People don't like being called bureaucrats. But I mean, a spade's a spade, right? The government's the government. The bureaucrats are bureaucrats. They both are awful things.
I think we should get Captain Justice to sue the government to get rid of daylight savings time. Because, you know, daylight savings time was invented when there was no incandescent lighting. So basically, like, you can do everything with lighting now. Like, you can do sports games with giant lights. You can have concerts at night. You can farm at night, man. Those big mega tractors, they have big spotlights on them. So you don't need it
anymore.
But
then the environmentalists will say something like, well, we need to save energy.
Sage grouse.
Lights. Yeah.
the sage grouse that run through the wheat fields of Kansas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Think of the sage grouse. Yeah, I like sage grouse. They're so not endangered, man. They're almost to the point of like
so
they're everywhere.
Weird looking.
They are.
Too.
They kind of look like the Roadrunner. They kind of look like.
well, they have something that looks not radio friendly hanging from their neck.
I know. Is it from their head?
I don't. I thought it was from their neck. Yeah, maybe it's from. Maybe it's from their head.
They kind of look very a cross between
gross.
A turkey and the Roadrunner on the cartoons,
and a drawing on a bathroom stall.
Maybe that's why they want to ban them, because they're not radio friendly. No, they want to. The Democrats want to protect them. Mm-hmm. Because they're obscene. Yeah. So we wanted to talk about why we repeat basic concepts. Like, what you have to know about the Fiends is that we started as a podcast on the internet, and that kind of, you're kind of preaching to the choir, because people find you who are interested in what you have to say. Whereas on radio, it's more of a general audience. And you have to assume on radio that every episode, there's going to be somebody new listening who's never heard the concepts. And we are not your grandpa's talk radio. We are different. We believe we're more small government than the small government Republicans. I can hear you vaping there, Nima. It's very, very, very
vaping.
Sensual and vaping.
Annoying.
Yeah, annoying. Thank you. I tried my little shock collar that we have for each other. I pressed the button, but apparently it wasn't working. Or maybe you like that now. Maybe you've grown to like it. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah. So people wonder, like, why we have to repeat these basic concepts. And I feel like even at the danger of boring our regular listeners, we have to really think and be concerned with the new listener. You know, it's kind of like why we explain everything, even if new listeners find it redundant. I'm less concerned about the established audience. That's about preaching to the choir. I'd rather have 10 million people hear us once than 100,000 people hear us every day forever, even though the latter would be more economically lucrative. Also, I want each episode to be self-contained to spread the message of liberty, because it's possible and likely that for many people, they'll only ever get to hear one show, either on the radio or a shared USB drives after we're droned and free speech is outlawed. I want each episode to be a complete vessel capable of transmitting liberty to someone who's never encountered it on the Freedom Fiends.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends. I'm Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. I got a slight correction from our last rant. I thought Dick Cheney was some kind of secretary in the Nixon administration. I was wrong. He was actually White House Chief of Staff in the Nixon administration. He worked his way up from being an intern for Congressman William A. Steger.
So if he were an intern today, there would possibly be naked pictures of him because of this politician
that the NSA would use to blackmail him.
Yeah, or blackmail the politician who took the pictures, because there is a congressman has been accused of planning a bathroom cam to watch his female interns.
Yes, who also said, quote, if the women knew exactly what the spy cam was about, they would be applauding and popping champagne corks. It's a good thing. It keeps women safe.
He said that? He actually said that?
Yes, according to Popat, that's what he said.
What a kind of rapey thing to say, man. If these women knew that I filmed them without their permission or consent, they'd be celebrating and partying because I'm looking out for their best interests. Over and over and over on the laptop. Yeah. So in the last segment, we talked about how the Freedom Fiends want to talk every episode for eternity, repeat until droned. We want to talk about basic principles of liberty. Now, there's basically two of them. There's the non-aggression principle, which states, what does it state, Nima? Say it. You're better with words. You got a pretty mouth. Go ahead.
The non-aggression principle is the principle that thou shalt not initiate the use of force. Pretty much, period. Yeah. The basic concept, I guess, broken down in more conversational terms is it's not cool, man. It's not okay. You don't get a pass to initiate force on somebody. So that would be hitting, murdering, stealing. I would argue fraud, because in fraud, you're still stealing because you're taking money from somebody under false pretenses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's the non-aggression principle. And the reason why it's central to libertarianism, I would argue. And the reason why libertarians seem like they just hate the government, they're anti-government, is because the government is this false moral categorization that says it's okay to do all those things if you call them different names and if people vote for the people doing it to you. So it's okay to steal if you call it taxes, and it's done at the behest of people who were voted on.
Well, they actually admit it too now. They didn't used to, but there's a sociological term that defines a geopolitical term that defines a state as a sovereign area, geographic area where a sovereign government has the monopoly on force. And that's not something that like libertarians say as a cuss word. Well, it is. We cuss people who do that. But Obama has said that. He said there's a video of him saying like, well, we don't really want to use, we want to use soldiers overseas instead of a lot of consultants and contractors because it maintains our monopoly on force. He used that term.
Although even in his paradigm, isn't that silly? Because the government's still the one who directs the contractors and pays the contractors, right?
Yeah.
So it's just them hiring from the outside instead of promoting from the inside.
It's some Cheney-esque legal maneuvering for something that they have planned that they haven't done yet. You know, basically, I guess maybe they did a think tank piece and decided, well, maybe these contractors will decide that after we're done contracting with them that they still have the right to use force in those regions or something. I don't know. I don't know why they do the things they do. They have the brilliantest minds working on the worst things. That's what they have. And then they have like millions of the most mediocre minds enacting them and carrying them out at the street level. And now those now they'll all have a Glock. All those people will have a Glock. Glock, Glock, yo. They will have a Glock.
And the thing about it is, one of the reasons I think I thought about this and we decided to bring it up again is because we were talking about I can't remember his name, but it was some EFF guy being interviewed about the NSA, and he says he disagrees with the spying. He doesn't think it should exist, and he says it's not legal. In their opinion, there's nothing in the letter of the law that would enable the NSA to bulk spy on American citizens. But he says, you know, it would be another story if there was some kind of constitutional amendment, if the Fourth Amendment was repealed by the due process laid out in the Constitution, then it would be a different story.
Yeah, if two thirds of the states ratified it, that's a big problem that we, the Freedom Fiends, and most libertarians have with Constitution, basing everything on the Constitution as a sacred document, is that it would be constitutional to change the Constitution to eliminate all of the Bill of Rights. Like, basically, they could make it legal to put a camera in your home. They could make it legal to take away your guns. That would be constitutional if the Constitution was changed under the provisions of the Constitution. And libertarians don't believe, true libertarians don't believe that that would be legitimate.
Right. Because all rights are individual rights. And so what he said was if the American people decided they should be spied on. But here's the thing. If there was some scenario where 100% of American people decided they wanted to be spied on, then they would have to also sign a contract saying that they had to be spied on. It would have terms, it would have consideration on both sides, and a direct explanation of what it would entail for it to be in any way actually legitimate under reason and law, as Lysander Spooner would say. But under the way the Constitution sets up this thing, and under if we the people decided that this is what would happen, under that scenario, that's not what happens. There's still going to be thousands or millions of people who don't want to be spied on, who then get spied upon anyway, even though they didn't really agree to it. It's just enough of their neighbors agreed to it.
Yeah, that's a problem that we have with not agreeing 100% with Republicans or right wingers or conservatives who rightfully criticize Obama and all his appointees and all the King's men, criticizing them rightfully and correctly and calling them collectivist and saying it is a dirty word, because collectivism is a dirty word. But the Republicans are collectivists, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they completely are. War is collective punishment. Going over to Afghanistan and bombing people and droning people and going into towns and massacring them because there was a IED that blew up a few miles away from that said town and the people in the town aren't cooperating or giving the troops the information they want, that's collective punishment. That's punishing little innocent people. Kids and women who didn't actually do the crime, it's punishing them because they're close enough to the person who did the crime, because they're in the same geographical area. Libertarians are all about personal responsibility. You own the actions that you actually do, but hey, that also means you don't own the actions that somebody else does.
Yeah, taxation is collective theft. The draft, which a lot of conservatives say we need to bring back the draft. It was a good thing. It'll straighten out these kids. The draft is collectivizing slavery. Everything that governments do is collective by nature. That is the definition of a government. It's a collective. You get to choose. You don't get to opt out of it, but you get to, if you try to opt out of it, they'll kill you. And if you try to legally opt out of it and take up when Bubba says, if you don't love America, get out, and you try to get out and you try to go to another country, first of all, you have to have a country that'll take you. And secondly, they now make it really hard to do that and take most of your money when you're stepping out the door, basically. They don't want you to just get out.
You can't be stateless. According to the UN, you have to be the citizen of some country. You can't renounce citizenship from everywhere all at once.
Yeah, the UN provides the service of giving like temporary citizenship or something, adjunct citizenship. There's certain countries that will do this for the UN. Like if your country dissolves during a war, or if you're thrown out of a country, or any number of things like that, you can't be stateless. The UN won't let you. They'll find a state that'll
until you can find another one.
If you cannot afford a state, the one will be assigned to you. Yes. How collectivist is that, man?
And, you know, Stefan Molyneux likes to set this up with an analogy that if it was a wife in an abusive marriage, an abusive relationship, you know, you would think that she should have the right to leave that. And he says, well, with the state, it's like if she had the right to leave it, yeah, sure, she can leave, she can divorce, but immediately she will be assigned or have to go get into another abusive marriage.
The UN will assign another abusive husband for you. That's slightly less abusive, but still abusive. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And like you were hinting around there earlier, the corollary or the contrary, I guess, would be the aggression principle is what we call it. And that's basically a series of steps that sort of proves that the government is naked aggression. And that's the only reason at the base. That's the root reason why people obey it. And it's that, you know, if they come and like Lysander Spooner explained, if they come and say, hey, pay us for this protection we offer you and give you all the time, all these services. And you say, what? I didn't agree to pay for protection from you. They will say, it doesn't matter. That's none of your business. We started providing the protection. Now you owe us. If you say, no, I'm sorry, then they will bring more people, armed people. If you resist these armed men, they will try to take you by force. If you keep resisting, it can escalate to the point where they kill you dead.
Yep, and that's the aggression principle, and that's what defines all governments from, you know, North Korea to America. There's varying degrees of what they'll do. You know, in North Korea, there would be soldiers kicking in our doors right now. Well, no, there wouldn't, because we wouldn't even be on the internet, because most people in North Korea don't know the internet exists. That's wow. How much of a dark world they want to keep you in the final result of my country, right or wrong, of unchecked nationalism, of unchecked great man theory. And no, we're more about the individual here on the Freedom Fiends, and we are going to yak until they throw us in Gitmo or a FEMA camp, or probably that won't happen. They'll probably just plant a bunch of something on us and arrest us. Who knows what they'll do? But we're obeying the law for now. We're going to keep obeying the law, but they may change what's legal. They may make this kind of speech illegal. This kind of, right. You know, there's people that like write to us and say we're the true patriots, and I don't know. I don't even know what a patriot is, man, but. There's people out there who think that the Freedom Fiends are fighting the good fight, and we don't just fight the good fight. Do you want to jump on to? Nah, let's not. Let's keep on this.
Well, here's the thing: is people their initial response is, oh well, how would all of these things work? How would we have police? How would we have roads? How would we have clean water, clean air? And I guess my argument is, first,
we don't know very much.
Yeah. First, we don't
know. When people say without government police and a monopoly on violence, there'd be roaming bands of thugs kicking in doors and robbing people. But they have that now.
What do you think SWAT teams are?
Yeah.
There are almost 200 SWAT raids a day. Is that not overwhelming force?
And most of them are not people who are scary. Most of them are people who just do something, you know, like have a plant that the government has deemed is illegal and will eventually deem unillegal, or it's the wrong address. A lot of times the secretary transposes two numbers or types the wrong thing, or they have someone in custody and they say, give us information on somebody and we'll let you out. And they don't have any information, so they dime out someone they don't like just to get them swatted and maybe killed. And mm-hmm. It doesn't take any time off of their sentence, and it might give them more for giving false information. But they don't have much to lose at that point, so people do that all the time.
And some of them are just podcasters. Some of them are Adam Kokesh, who just said politically incorrect things and then gets his house SWAT raided and flashbangs thrown at his friends. We'll be back with more Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at GunsAndWeed.com or on Amazon. That's GunsAndWeed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's GunsAndWeed.com.
Yeah, Freedom
yeah.
Fiends.
Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidotti. That was Michael W. Dean that chimed in right there. Thank you so much for sticking with us. We're at the bottom of hour two. That means it's time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review.
Tweak and Review. I'm gonna write the jingle today.
Write the jingle.
After I chop some wood, I'm gonna go chop some wood with a handsaw because we had a storm and I bought a Chinese made chainsaw and it didn't work and I had to take it back.
Bummer. Yeah. Well, now you have enough daylight, right, because of the government, so you'll have plenty of time to chop your wood.
Well, I was just doing some Photoshopping here, adjusting the contrast, fixing what the government broke, which was they didn't make a good – well, it's a really old poster. I can't blame the government on this for everything. But we have this picture we're going to use for the episode archive today. It says, Victory! Congress passes daylight savings bill. And it's got Uncle Sam – with a rifle and a hoe, you know, H-O-E.
Yes, rifle
and
around says, one arm, a hoe in
and
the other.
And it says, this is from the 1800s, and it says, get your hoe ready. And what did you say about this?
I said he looks like a rapper.
How do you mean?
His gun and his hoe.
Oh, man. Yeah, and he's like pointing at the. It looks like you know how
it's really weird.
It's weird. He's pointing at like this little man who has.
It looks like he's doing the Jedi mind trick, and the little clock man's hat is falling off.
Yes.
You'll see it. Go to freedomfiends.com if you want to know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
If you want to get your hoe ready, you can go ahead and go to freedomfiends.com.
Get your rifle and get your hoe. So what did we talk about today, Nima Vidotti?
Well, we talked about getting your hoe ready. We talked about daylight savings time and the fact that it's resting on its own inertia. The initial reasons it was. Pushed into existence, they don't really exist any longer. It's no longer an agricultural society. And it actually is a falsehood that Benjamin Franklin invented it. He actually proposed something like it as a joke to the French when he was living there and offering full employment to ladies of the night and daylight savings times.
maybe he proposed it so there'd be more. I don't even want to go there. Okay, go on.
Well, that's the other thing is we didn't go over this, but the old joke is that old Indian says only the government thinks it can cut the bottom of a blanket off, sew it to the top, and think they have more blanket.
That's awesome.
So it was actually invented by a bug scientist in New Zealand.
An amateur golfer who wanted more time for bug watching and amateur golfing.
Right.
And happened to know the prime minister. You know, they say the press is only free if you have one. And I'd say that's true. And your bad ideas are only law if you know someone in the government.
That's a really good point. Yeah. So, yeah, but these days you can study bugs in your lab with your fluorescent lighting. And you can play golf outside also with fluorescent lighting.
But if you're
snowboarding.
If your electric bill is too high from having too many bug lights on at night, they will kick in your door because they'll think you're growing pot. And that has been probable cause to point guns at people and be violent and kick in their door.
Yes, and we did talk about the aggression principle, which is what that is. If you're growing the wrong plant and they come to raid you and you resist their silly raid, for what? For a plant? You know, like Muhammad Ali said, for what?
Then
you could get shot or thrown in a cage.
I have one other basic fiends premise that we repeat a lot that I'll repeat right there is that we don't do drugs. We like guns, and if you like guns but don't do drugs, you should still be against the war on drugs because the war on drugs is training for kicking in doors and taking guns. It gives cops probable cause to search your car for any reason they want and look for guns, look for illegal magazines, clips that are a little too clippy and have 11 rounds instead of 10 rounds.
Too clippy. Yeah. And seize your property.
Yeah.
Look up civil assature or asset forfeiture. Assature.
Yeah. Which is.
No, look up a.
Which
it's basically
is
them. They can take your money. You have. It's on you to prove that you didn't buy the property or make that money with drug money.
Which is a legal extension of something in the Constitution, which is the eminent domain.
Right, right. Which is in the Constitution, and it's they can take your property if they feel like it, which is really what it's become. I mean, originally you had to pretend it was for the public good, but now it's just because they feel like it, because the special interests have convinced them that you know, they want to do it.
You know that place in Casper Nima on CY when you're coming back from the foul store, from the gun store, and there's that little weird triangular lobby, like sixth of an acre there that's nothing, and there's signs on it that says no trespassing. That was a privately owned restaurant, and someone in the city didn't like the people who ran it, and they eminent domained it and then never did anything with it. That's the story I was told by one of the representatives in this state privately.
Wow. Awful. And stay tuned, or actually listen to us on the Wednesday show. We do a pre-recorded. Go to freedomfiends.com. And also join us next weekend. Same fiend time, same fiend stations.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com.